today as we come to the table.
Think of how much fear causes us to miss the things that God wants us to be involved in the spiritual realm. They missed a great vision of God because they were afraid of the supernatural. They ran. Now again, I understand it. Human nature, the first thing you're going to do is run, especially when you see something supernatural that you can't explain. I get that. Except notice Daniel didn't run. Why didn't Daniel run? Because Daniel was in tune with the Spirit. Daniel had a close relationship with God, and he recognized this is God. But when we don't have a walk close with God, when we don't see things from God's perspective, if something supernatural happens, that can make us afraid and cause us to run from the things of the Spirit.
Have you ever missed out on an experience because something about it scared you? Maybe you struggle in social settings, so you've missed out on getting to know someone you may have had a positive effect on your life. Sometimes you have to push through fear to realize there isn't anything to be afraid of. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Too many times people associate anything supernatural with the demonic realm, and they're afraid. In today's message, Pastor Mark explains not all things supernatural are evil. If you have a close relationship with God, you'll be able to discern which things are actually spiritual gifts from Him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Daniel, chapter 10, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Whether or not we have a particular angel with every person in this room and somebody wants to make a theological argument, I know we have angels that are here and they watch over us. And that's a pretty awesome thought to keep in mind, is to, again, begin to visualize in this what's going on behind the scenes. What we're seeing right now is just the physical. We can't see everything that's happening in the spirit realm. And so it's quite amazing when you begin to realize what is there, and that increases your faith. Because you realize when you're praying to God, you're praying to the Lord, you realize He's hearing us. He's there. He's got His angels dispatched. They're doing work. They're watching over us. They know exactly what's going on in our life, and they're helping us even now. It's interesting. We'll see in a moment the angels touch Daniel and give him extra strength. And we see the angels show up in the garden, and they minister to the Lord, and they strengthen him. And again, as the Bible says, the angels are ministering spirits to the saints. God sends them to minister to us. There's times I think that maybe we're strengthened by what they're doing in the background and we didn't even know it. It's the power of God. It's not the angels. God's power is coming through the angel, and God is the one laying His hand on us. God is the one giving us His spirit and giving us His strength, but His angels are agents that He uses, even as we are servants to go minister to each other. When you go to somebody after the service and you pray for them and lay your hand on them, you're strengthening them. You're being a minister of the Lord, but it's God's power doing it, right? Well, God uses the angels to do the same thing. Now again, don't get weird and start talking to angels or praying to them. God forbid. The Bible warns against that. That gets into idolatry. It's only the Lord that we pray to. It's only the Lord that we look to. But we see the agency is through angels oftentimes that God gives. And so it's really an amazing thing here. This angel shows up to Daniel, and this voice of a multitude, this awesome figure. And look at what it says in verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. Here's why. For the men who were with me did not see the vision. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. There's several things I want to unpack here. First of all, notice this. Think of how much fear causes us to miss the things that God wants us to be involved in the spiritual realm. They missed a great vision of God because they were afraid of the supernatural. They ran. Now again, I understand it. Human nature, the first thing you're going to do is run, especially when you see something supernatural that you can't explain. I get that. Except notice Daniel didn't run. Why didn't Daniel run? Because Daniel was in tune with the Spirit. Daniel had a close relationship with God, and he recognized this is God. But when we don't have a walk close with God, when we don't see things from God's perspective, if something supernatural happens, that can make us afraid and cause us to run from the things of the Spirit. And it's such a shame how much we miss by running in fear from the things of the Spirit. I think about Moses. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. The Lord says, I want to show Moses. I want to show you my power. I want to show it to you so that when you go to Pharaoh, you can see the supernatural. I'm going to use you in the supernatural, and you're going to be a witness. And again, Pharaoh worships serpents, and Pharaoh wears a serpent, and it's one of his gods. So throw your rod down. I'm going to show you that you have power over the god of Pharaoh. And that's why God turned it into a serpent. It wasn't to freak Moses out. It was to say, this is the god of Pharaoh. You have power over that god. And so he throws it down. It turns into a serpent. What's the first thing that Moses did when he saw the supernatural? He ran. It says Moses ran. He fled. Right? And it doesn't tell us how the Lord lured him back, but I kind of imagine, Moses, it's me. Come on back. Don't be afraid of the supernatural. Don't be afraid of my power. I want you to see my power. I want you to know my power. And I've given it to you for a purpose so that you can use that power. And some of you today, maybe even you come from a background, even right now you're thinking about it. There are certain things that make you afraid in the spiritual realm. The simple mention of the gifts of the Spirit might make you go, wait a minute. Now, don't get weird on us. So something that God ordained and sent to the church is weird? Guys, everything within the Word of God is for our benefit. Everything in the Bible God has given for a reason. God didn't give the gifts just to say, here's something you can kind of play with, and it's a toy, and whatever. Some will use it the right way. Some will use it the wrong way. And many of you come from a background where you've seen the gifts used in a very wrong way. And because of that, you're like this, oh, I don't know. I get it. I've seen that. But the Lord says to you today, Moses, stop freaking out. It's me. Now, there are people that use it wrong, and they've abused it. And you saw that, and you rightfully questioned it because they weren't doing it the right way, and they were acting foolish, and they didn't know. I'm not picking on them, but they didn't know. They needed to grow. They needed to learn. But I'm the one that gave you these tools so you can use them in ministry. There's going to be somebody that needs a healing, and so the gift of healing is going to flow through you one day. If you neglect that supernatural gift and don't believe in it, then I can't use you that way. There's going to be somebody that needs a word of knowledge. They're going to need to hear that God is speaking through you about something in your life that only God could have known. I'm going to speak to you that way if you allow me, but if you're afraid of the supernatural, I won't, because I can't use you that way. You're limiting what I can do in your life. Don't be afraid. And I think about them running. I think of how many run from things such as the gifts of the Spirit. Listen, when you do things the right way, decently and in order, everything from God is a gift, and he's given it for a reason. Don't be afraid, Christian. Don't run. Well, what if a demon gets in? I hear those kind of rumors. Jesus dealt with that in Luke chapter 11. He says, look, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, that is, you have a sin nature, how much will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit? And in the context of giving the Holy Spirit, he said this, if a son asks for a stone, will he give him a serpent? No. If he asks for, a fish, will he give him a scorpion? No. Scorpions and serpents, those are representations of the demonic realm. A serpent of Satan, a scorpion of Jesus, that'll give you power to stomp on scorpions. So he gives a picture of the demonic realm. Then he goes on and says, so, if you're asking the Father for the supernatural, if you're asking him to give you this, he's not going to give you a demon. What, is Satan greater than God? Can Satan jump in and say, oh, we're going to trick him, right? Again, I just feel this is something that needs to be accentuated, because the work of the Spirit in my life transformed my life. I was a Christian for a long time before I received the empowering of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and it changed my life. It helped me to be able to walk as a Christian in my Christian walk. It gave me power to be able to do that. It gave me the ability to be able to be a witness, to be bold and all those things. And some of you are living in a perpetual state of failure. You're living in a perpetual state of fear because you've not allowed God to give you the supernatural. I encourage you, get alone. I'm not going to encourage you, do it today before we're done. Say, God, okay, I'm open. What do you have for me? Fill me with your Spirit. I didn't plan on talking about this long, but I'm going to go a little longer on it. There's three workings of the Spirit, the Bible says. There's the indwelling, there's the withdwelling, and there's the ondwelling. The indwelling is what happens when you give your life to Christ. The moment you give your life to the Lord, you are indwelt. You have the Spirit of God living within you. The Bible says he will also be alongside us. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is with you and will be in you. And so the alongside is the word para. That's a word where he's alongside, drawing you to the Lord and helping you in your life with the Lord. The upon is for power. Every time the Spirit comes upon, you'll see in the book of Acts, you'll see in the Old Testament, whenever they needed power, the Spirit would come upon them, and they now had power to be witnesses for God. That's the supernatural that some of you in this room need today. That's the supernatural that transformed my life from just being a Christian to a victorious Christian. And you need to know about it. You don't need to be afraid of it. Don't run from the voice speaking from the bush saying, this is me. Relax and receive. God's not going to make you foolish. You have control of any gift that God gives you. The Bible says that the gifts are subject to the prophet. And what that means is that whatever God gives you is in your purview to use whenever you want to use. It's not going to overtake you and make you do something that's crazy. But it means when you need it, you're going to be able to use it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, again, fear causes us to miss so much. And these guys, rather than being able to enjoy the supernatural and see the work of God, they ran and they didn't experience it. You know, it's interesting. Hebrews 13:8 says, you know, we talk about the power of God in our lives. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he doesn't change. So the way he was back then is the way the Lord is today. Understand that. You've got the same Jesus sitting on the throne that's been throughout time. He's not going to change on us, all right? And so that's why, again, don't be afraid of everything the Bible talks about. Sometimes people say to me, do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit? My answer to that is I believe everything in the Bible. Everything. All of it. All of it. And so, again, I know I'm maybe accentuating this today, but this really hit me this week when I see just the fear that these men had. I'm like, you know what? They missed a great vision. They missed the work of the Spirit and what God was doing. Daniel was able to experience it because he wasn't afraid and he was in tune with the Spirit. And so, again, I want to encourage you today, if that's you, believe and receive. You have a powerful Heavenly Father. He's going to protect you and he's going to give you what you need to do what he's called you to do. And by the way, not everybody gets all of the gifts. Whatever gift God wants you to have, that's the gift God will give you. And I'll say even greater than the gifts. You know, when I was, again, filled with the Spirit, there were certain gifts that I received. But you know what? As years have gone by, if there's one thing I could trade them all for, it'd be love. It'd be love. The gifts are very useful. But the most important thing to me is love. It's interesting when you read about the use of the gifts in Corinthians, Paul says this, look, desire earnestly the gifts. He said, but the greatest of these is love. Because if you don't love, it doesn't matter what gift you have. Some of the most gifted in the physical realm, people in the world, they're the most gifted in the world. And yet there's no love. Who wants to be around them? You know, you may be able to sing better than anybody on the planet, but nobody's your friend because you're so rude. And yet you find people that have love and you just want to be around them. Just there's something about love. Pray for love. Pray that God makes you a man or woman of love. Above all, I mean, again, pray for the gifts and pray for God to use you. They are tools in your toolbox. They're not showpieces. They're not something to show off. I can do this. That's kid stuff. They're tools in your toolbox. So when you're building the kingdom and God gives you that tool, you can use it when it's needed. Okay? Somebody needs a word of knowledge. God, give me a word of knowledge for my brother. And you're able to do that. All right? But at the same time, Lord, if I give him a word of knowledge and I don't have love, it means nothing. Make me a man of love. And so again, Daniel was a man of love. And now we see again the situation here where Daniel sees this great vision. Notice another thing that happens when he sees this great vision. And we see this consistently with Daniel when he has these visions. And that is it pulls his strength away. This is very interesting. Whether it's a demonic visitation or that he sees or whether it's a godly one. Notice he says here, he says his vigor was turned into frailty and he retained no strength. It was very draining on Daniel. And this is something else I want you to notice here. Whenever we get into spiritual battle and we have these kind of things going on, oftentimes they're very draining. And some of you this morning may be very drained. You may be very fatigued. You may feel very frail. You may be depressed. It says he felt sorrowful here. Okay, that's what the wording is. Sometimes even sickness can come with spiritual battle. So here's what I'm saying. Learn to recognize some of these things that are happening in your life. Your depression. Maybe even some type of sickness that you're having. Maybe some type of frailty, weakness. It might simply be spiritual. Now, it might not be. It might truly be just a germ that you have. It might truly be something you're battling because we live in a world full of germs. Again, not everything has a demon behind it. That's another mistake that many make. Everything's a demon. I had a flat tire. The flat tire demon got me today. There's not a flat tire demon. Okay, they're just cars. And tires get, you know, 10-penny nails and whatever. So don't think that everything has a demon behind it. I don't want you to think that if you have some illness today, that I want you to think it's demonic. It may not be. What I'm saying is, pray against it. I say, God, heal me. If this is demonic, rebuke the demonic realm. Lord, if my heaviness, if my depression, you know, one of my favorite verses when it says that what Jesus came to do, it says he came to give a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Sometimes when I feel depressed, I worship. I just put worship on. As I begin to worship, you know what he wraps me in? A garment of praise. And I find a spirit of heaviness begins to lift. And rather than being depressed, I'm saying, God, you are faithful and you are good. Bless your name. Pray. Pray against these things. Recognize the battle is oftentimes causing these things to take place. That's how Daniel is persevering through. And yet notice what happens. And I've got to hurry. Look at this. Yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of the words, I was in deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. So Daniel was wiped out by the vision. But at the same time, what was Daniel able to do? He could still hear the word of the Lord. And that's what, again, seeking God will do. You may be wiped out by the spiritual battle, but you can hear the word of the Lord clearly. And such a blessing to learn to do that. Notice what happens here. Suddenly a hand touched me. So the angel touches him, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. So he got enough strength. He was so wiped out, he was laying flat on his face. He now gets enough strength to get up on his hands and his knees, but he's shaking because he received strength. And it says, and he said to me, "O Daniel, man greatly beloved." Again, the Bible says, we said last week, all of us are the greatly beloved of the Lord. And I love how the angel keeps reminding him. I think if angels, if we could hear their voice today, if we could hear the voice of the Lord today, they would say, the message from the Lord to you is, "Oh, greatly beloved. You are greatly beloved." He keeps telling Daniel that. "Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have been sent to you now." While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. So he has enough strength now to stand up because God's giving him power in the midst of this vision. And then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Again, notice this. Guys, we talked about this last week, kind of let the cat out of the bag before we got there, but notice this. He says, again, the very first time you began your prayer, I heard you. When you began your prayer and begin your prayer, God hears you in heaven. You need to know that. Nothing's bouncing off the ceiling. God hears it. Well, then why is there a delay? Because sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait, because it's not the right time. And sometimes there's a spiritual battle going on that you need to pray through. And Daniel had to pray through the full 21 days to get the breakthrough that he needed so the angel could arrive to him and give him the message that he was crying for God. Some of you are right now about to give up in prayer. Don't give up. Don't stop. You might be on the very verge of a breakthrough. And where suddenly this thing's going to finally happen after all this time, and tears of joy begin to stream down your face because you didn't give up and you continued on in prayer. Daniel continues on in prayer. And again, notice this. He has this, again, God heard him. God lets him know. "I want you to know, Daniel, that I heard you right off the bat." And I believe the Holy Spirit would say to us today, "I've heard you right off the bat. I heard you. I'm aware of this." But notice this. It says in verse 13, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." Notice this, the prince of Persia, the kings of Persia. What in the world's going on here? These are obviously not men. They're not normal kings. They're not normal princes, because this is an angel who's got a voice like the multitude, who has a face like lightning and eyes like fire. No man's going to hold this guy up. Most people would see him and run like they did, but Daniel didn't because of walking in the spirit. Who is this prince of Persia, or we'd say today modern day Iran? Guys, this is the demonic realm. When you read in Ephesians 6 and it says powers and principalities are battling us, what it says is there are different ranking angels, kings, princes, etc., that are stationed in different areas of the earth that battle against us. There is a prince of Persia. He had to go to the prince of Persia, this fallen angel, this demon. He had to fight his way through, and here comes Michael the bruiser, right? And Michael comes and knocks it on through, and he gets on down there, and the battle's taking place. Realize when you're praying, it might be going, there's battle in the heavenlies right now that are keeping you from getting the answer to your prayer. Don't stop praying. God is sending reinforcements. There will be a breakthrough. Why didn't God just do it instantly? Again, we need to learn warfare. It builds character. It builds perseverance. So God is allowing you now to grow and to be stretched. But this battle, it's amazing to think that king, listen, I believe that king of Persia is still there today, or the prince of Persia. And it wasn't just him. There were kings with him. I believe he's still there. I think these fallen demons are stationed around the world. There's probably a prince or king of America. There may be a king or some kind of ruler, some governor of Knoxville. You wonder, why are these things happening? How come we can't get this to take place or whatever? There's spiritual battle, these principalities and powers that we can't see visibly, but they're there. And the battle's taking place between holy angels and these angels. And God dispatches these angels when we pray. Just like when Daniel prayed. If we understand that, we know when to pray and we know how to pray. And so there's this whole battle going on here. Again, I think you wonder, why are there so many places and so many things that are happening around the world. I look at Syria today. Some of the same atrocities are happening in Syria today that happened in Assyria, which is the same region, the ancient name of it, in that day. Why? I believe the same prince of Syria is still there. These demons are eternal. They're still there. They're just staying in the same place. Why is the Gaza Strip always on fire? Because the same demon of Gaza Strip is still down there. These demons are in place. Why is Washington, D.C. such a mess? Why is, listen, you look at America, then why has America walked in the way that it's walked in all the years that we've had, being a nation that ruled the world in really in many ways, not just the power and authority, but even in leading morally and in righteousness? Because we were so filled with believers. It was established on Christian principles and the Bible and so many churches and people crying out to God, and the demonic realm was being defeated because they were always battling because of all the prayers going up. And suddenly we began to turn away from God as a nation and look at our nation. It's not the president. It's not the governor. It's not the senator. And I'm not saying all these men are doing the right things. Please don't misunderstand me. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities. And if we turn away from God and there's not as much prayer and battle going up for our nation, then the Prince of America is going to make a lot more headway. He's going to change our culture. He's going to make things that are sinful accepted. He's going to move things in a direction that will destroy our nation. So what do? We begin to pray against it. And guys, one of the best prayers we can pray is, God, send revival to your church, because as more believers get saved, more prayers go to heaven to battle against the demonic realm. Listen, I got to finish. We're stopping in verse 13. But some of you needed to be encouraged today that you've got a battle that's going on. Don't give up. Continue to pray. Don't stop. God heard you the day you prayed. The moment you said it, God heard it. Before you said it, God heard it. But he's teaching you warfare. Be a warrior. Sometimes battle's hard. Sometimes the battle rages. It's so hard you can't even hold your weapon up. You're hungry, you're cold, you're tired. There's blood, there's mud, there's opposition. And God says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to teach you to do battle. Don't give up. And the victory is going to be that much sweeter when it happens. That needs to be heard for some of you guys. The rest of us, as we finish, look, be praying. Pray for Calvary Chapel. Pray for God to send, not just Calvary Chapel, but this is our first home base. Pray for the Church of Knoxville. Pray against the spiritual realm to be rebuked in Knoxville, to be rebuked off our nation. Pray for God to send revival, because I believe, you know, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. Now, the enemy's coming in like a flood, isn't he? You know what the standard stands for? It's a battle insignia. A standard was what you held up. It'd be like saying the enemy's coming in and we're overwhelmed and you're never going, oh my goodness, they're coming over the hill. What are we going to do? And all of a sudden you see the Lord's army and his banner come up over the hill behind you and go, oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And that's what we need to pray for, guys. Let's pray. I'm going over here. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're the one in control. We thank you that you're the one that has the power, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you raise up a standard. God, raise up a standard here at Calvary Chapel, Knoxville. Raise up a standard in the churches of Knoxville. Raise up a standard in the churches of America. God, raise up a standard in our city. Do battle for us, God. Rebuke the demonic realm, Lord. Send your holy angels. We know you hear us right now, the moment we pray. And God, glorify your name. Send revival to us that more will be praying for our nation, that we might see you come and restore us. And God, for those that are battling this morning and they're struggling and now they realize what's going on, I am in a spiritual wrestling match. God, strengthen them. Let them know they're being cheered from the stands by the angels. Let them know they're being cheered on by other believers. Let them know that you yourself, God, are giving them power and they will get the victory. The enemy will be pinned at the right moment when you say so, but let them be strong and be grown, and Lord, learn battle. So we give you the glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is teaching a series from the book of Daniel, where we see how to be faithful to God in the midst of consequences that were brought on a sinful nation. The Israelites were forced to live in Babylon, a foreign nation far from their homeland. Can you imagine being a young man as Daniel was, living in a strikingly different religious society than what he believed? How hard would it be to stand firm in your faith? To me, it sounds pretty similar to what we experience when we make a stance for Christ. Although we may not be living in a foreign land, we still come across opposition to our faith. But as we learn from Daniel's life, God gives us courage to not bow down to the idols of this world. We can overcome great obstacles through the power of the Holy Spirit and trusting He is with us. We hope as you've listened today, you've been encouraged to stay true to Jesus where you live and work. We'd also like to invite you to come visit us. If you're in the Knoxville area, why don't you come to Calvary Knoxville this weekend? Find our service times by going to thewaymedia.net and then click on the Calvary Knoxville tab. Scroll to the bottom and click on the Outreach of Calvary Knoxville link. Once you determine which service works for you, bring the whole family. If you want to listen to any of these studies again, just click on the Come to the Table link online at thewaymedia.net or connect with the Way Media app. We look forward to connecting with you in any of these capacities. We'll continue our verse-by-verse study through Daniel next time on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.